Hi, this is Russ. We're getting ready to do session 19 in Freedom Encounters, the Internet course. And you have gone through kind of an overview since session 16. Freedom Encounters, again, as I can share with you, that Jesus' ministry to anybody and everybody, whatever, you know, past trauma, you know, secret sins, issues, again, the Lord is searching to find any offensive way, broken way, whatever else is there for him to minister to. And a lot has to do with whether the person is willing. So it's important that as eager as you are sometimes, and as eager as Jesus is. I mean, you read the Gospel of Mark, and you're going to find where he goes into one town ready to heal, and he wouldn't let them, or the people wouldn't let him. And it says that he couldn't do very many miracles there except to heal a few people because of their unbelief. So it's important that you and I in this entire ministry is to launch out in faith in all that Jesus is and what he does, what he wants done. His will is bigger than ours. His compassion is bigger than ours. Though we feel it at times, and sometimes when you're tired or when you don't understand or you're going through warfare, doesn't mean Jesus is. It means, you are. And he still wants to get to individuals and bring his mercy and grace to them. So we have to, at times, sacrifice a lot to get to individuals and help them. That's why I left you Isaiah 58 to really read through from the last session, where the kind of true fasting that God desires and the kind of ministry. It's really about the kind of ministry. Instead of just, you know, a religion being something that is an outward thing and we say we fasted or, you know, we've made some kind of, you know, we only ate fish on a Friday or whatever. Well, what is he really all about? You know, when you begin to read what God says in Isaiah 58, let's look at verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Notice God's response back. Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Obviously not. That's not what God's ultimate desire, you know, is. Look what verse 6 says. Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him? Can you see Jesus in all this? Obviously. It's Jesus who was ministering to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." So when you take a look at this and study this chapter, you see the kind of ministry that Jesus wants to do. 700 years prior to his visible appearance in by the Virgin Mary in the birth of the Incarnation, before he became flesh, here we have Jesus high and ascended up, as we see in Isaiah 6. And we see the Spirit of Christ ministering, and we see the very character and the works. This is the work of God in loving people and healing people. And this is what Israel could even be doing among ministry within. And obviously the body of Christ is all about ministry and all about saving, healing, delivering, helping, encouraging, building up, and so forth. So the exciting thing is on page 50, session 9, encountering Jesus Christ, the inner salvation, healing, and freedom that God wants to bring. Now, Jesus is amazing. Obviously, we read in Daniel that God's able to write on a wall and to warn a king about the end of his kingdom and to prophetically not only speak it, write it, but also to bring it to pass. We see in Isaiah 6, you know, Isaiah looking up. And in Matthew, the angel says that Isaiah saw Jesus high and lifted up. That's the pre-incarnate state, 700 years prior to his coming. Well, In the coming of Christ, again, the amazing work of the Spirit of God causing the physical birth inside the Virgin Mary and bringing about the God-man Christ. Now, when you take a look at the Gospels, and that's why last session I told you, read the Gospel of Mark, because you're going to find again and again where it's called the dynamic gospel by some, where Jesus is just moving from person to person, place to place. The people are amazed. They're astounded. They're standing wonder and awe of all that he says and all that he does. And we need to allow him to be all that he is. Whatever you see in the Gospels and he is there and what he did there and his saving, healing, delivering, so forth, he is today. That's why we're confident about sharing Jesus and knowing that he can save people today, 2,000 years later, just as he did back then. That he's able to deliver and save to the uttermost. That he's able to reach into a life like Saul of Tarsus and transform his life. Like in Mark chapter 5, the demonized man who was transformed. What Satan does in transmutating, God comes now in Christ to do in transforming, in bringing people back into relationship with God, which means they become, in a sense, healed within. Forgiven of sin, yes, but freed from its power, freed from Satan's ownership. The impartation of God's righteousness, the planting of the seed, the nature of God within to be able to live the life, let alone the healing and anything else that God wants to do in a life. So I'm just still amazed at Jesus and all that he does. Point A on page 50 under 1 says, no one else and no one like him. Isaiah 46, God declares that about himself. And this is true about Jesus. This is absolutely true. The demons aren't going to respond to Muhammad, to Buddha, whatever else, Quetzalcoatl, and all the other things out there. The demons are going to respond only to the real living Christ. They know who he is. And they'll confess who he really is under his authority. Well, the individual personalities on the inside can be ministered to the same way anybody on the outside can be ministered to. And that's an important thing. So I really hope that you'll get a big picture of Jesus and that there's no theological stream that has stripped Jesus of his works in the application of ministry today. Whatever Jesus did in the Gospels, he does today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is very vital. And God will work, and Jesus will work in amazing ways. So when we come to this inner healing, this inner saving, this inner, you know, working of the Lord inside of a multiple, this is an amazing thing. So here's the key, and here's the principle. Whatever Jesus was then and is now for the outside person, he will be for the inside person. So if I'm witnessing out there to a skinhead, to a Satanist, to a pagan, to an atheist, all that Jesus is, I'm bringing out to them. If I need to pray for people to be healed, pray for people to be delivered, you know, interact with them, share reasons why I believe in Jesus and he gives me incredible hope, then I'm going to share all those things with them. And I'm going to do that. So it's very important as you're sharing and as you're doing things that anything that can happen on the outside in an individual's lives. And over the years, I've seen thousands come to Christ. I've seen God do amazing things, bring conviction. People fall and cry out for salvation. People that have gotten healed, I've seen some physical healing. I truly haven't seen a lot, but I've seen some physical healing. And I've also experienced some. And I've seen a lot of deliverance, of course, obviously. Not again, because that would be what I would rather lead somebody to Jesus. I would rather be out there soul winning. But I will not turn from this compassionate area of ministry that Jesus has brought. And it's needed today. And many times in that deliverance, it leads people ultimately and quickly to Jesus. Well, the saving, healing, delivering, and extraordinary working is the same today as it ever was. So when we talk about inviting Jesus to the inside, when you're dealing with MPD, you've got personalities that are on the inside. They see things. They experience things. Their world is different. And so we got to expect that as Jesus comes on the inside to minister to them, they're not only going to be able to see Jesus, literally, visibly see Jesus, like Saul of Tarsus. He saw a light. John on the Isle of Patmos saw Jesus. This is a way in which Jesus shows himself, reveals himself to the inside world of personality, where all that transmutation has occurred. There's a miraculous transformation that Jesus wants to bring. Jesus is who he is in person, in his word, and in the spirit. There is no separation. He is the word. And as we share the word, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. There's many encounters that cause people to break down their resistance to Christ, healing and deliverance and so forth, power encounters and truth encounters. Well, this is a direct Jesus encounter. The whole issue in point two on page 50 is, as can we invite Jesus inside to speak and do his work? Yes. Yes. And that's what we want to do. And when I ever get a person, a personality to a point where they're saying, well, yes, I'm willing for, to kind of kick back, sit back and look on the inside and invite Jesus to come and show himself and minister and engage and talk and so forth. Almost, again, 95% of the time, I know at that point that saving, healing, delivering, and awesome work is going to occur, and that the person is going to get another step towards total healing and ultimate healing. So this has a lot to do with the will. Jesus said in John 7, whoever is willing to do my will shall know the teaching. There is a sense of willingness. He wept outside of Jerusalem because he said, how often I would have taken you up under my wings, but you would not. So it is very vital. You can't lead a person to Christ who's not willing. You can share the gospel. You can do whatever you want. If they say no, that's happened many times. Of the hundreds of people I've got to lead to Christ, hundreds. There's also many that have just said no. I remember sharing the gospel through the four spiritual laws once and going through it and came to the very end and said, do you want to accept Christ right now? Like this prayer, mentions here. And I had him read the prayer. And then he looked at me and he slammed the little booklet shut and he said, no. And he didn't. And he didn't receive Christ that day. And I don't know if he ever did. So in all the ministry you're pouring out to an SRA, to a cult multiple, coming to this point is very good and very big in the ministry of healing. And it gives me the indicator that, when God begins a good work in them, he'll carry it on to completion to the very day of Christ. Philippians 1:6. I'm confident of that for the Christian life, in my life, in your life as a believer. We're to be confident about that work. It is God's sovereign work. It's his plan. And when he comes to save, salvation and sanctification, that process of putting off and putting on, that process of growing in Christ is just as dynamic. It is the application of salvation. We're justified at the moment of salvation. We are being sanctified in our development, and we shall be glorified. Now, in the multiple, the salvation is when the core person receives Christ. And you know that when that is occurring and you've gotten into the personalities, when I get to the point where not only deliverance occurs, and I've engaged many personalities and talked with them and shared and got understanding and they've seen me and they're willing and ready and so forth. Well, then when I come to the point of saying, would you like to ask Jesus to come on the inside, speak to you, and you speak to him? And I tell them very clearly in the very beginning, he's not going to come in and do anything against your will, because he just doesn't do that. The truth for all personalities, all human personality is this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. So if a cult multiple's like, no, I don't want. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now again, and counselors and pastors and all of us are going to have to understand this. Some of them want to be what they are, and I know that's going to be hard to believe. You may have worked with somebody for 4 or 5 years. Maybe you're working with just upper level personalities, and that's all you're dealing with. But inside, they ultimately want to be. And maybe you've had some people leave and go back to covens and back to their work, and that's what they want to be. I mean, it's like, well, come on, Pastor Russ, you really think that there's people that want to be this? Well, there's Luciferians, there's Satanists, there's atheists. I mean, there's some people that really mock God and hate God and want to be what they want to be, and they want to reject God and so forth. So it is possible for the human will to go to the point of complete rejection of Christ and want to be something other. And that occurs all across the board, all around the world, and that does occur at times also with cult multiples. Some of them want to remain, and some of them will. And they'll be here. Many of them will be here and triggered and so forth and used in the Black Awakening and so forth coming up. Well, let's go over the points. Page 50, point 2. Let's start with A. Jesus, listen, if you're going to invite them, listen, Jesus will be what he was and is. And let me just express it to you, really. You're going to be amazed. I've been amazed many times how awesome, compassionate, as Jesus is ministering on the inside of them, I can feel the presence of Christ. And I'm listening to the Spirit of God and yielded. So I'm like, there's an interaction here going on. And if you're with team members, sometimes the Lord is speaking to you and the other team members the exact same thing. He's speaking to the personality on the inside. So yes, it's really real. This has nothing to do with, and I urge you, reject all kinds of New Age guided imagery and all that kind of junk that speaks of New Age junk. No, this is the real Christ ministering. Obviously, Christ is in you. Christ is in your team members. He's with you. He's among you. He's in your midst. But he's also beyond your midst. And he's able to show himself, as he did with John on the Isle of Patmos, as he did with, you know, Saul of Tarsus in a way, the light. And sometimes that just occurred, just light with some individuals in the very beginning. They just see this incredible, brilliant light and that Christ speaks or ministers or gets rid of the demons or whatever. So the bottom line is getting them. First, what I do too is this. Because I now, after all these times, I just expect Jesus to be there, show up, do his work. But I will pray for the Spirit of God to lead and guide everything. I will also be prepared to, and I'll also pray, you know, we bind every demon, every working, anything that's going on demonically that would come in, you know, just in case there's anything else. Hopefully we've cleared all of that out of the way, or most everything out of the way, but still be prepared to deal with anything demonic and deceiving and so forth along the way. Point D, ask them to be quiet. Again, if you're dealing with a personality, whether a little one or whatever, and usually, again, mostly, in the very beginning, home-created personalities want to go. Those who have been through so much pain and everything else that really want to, you know, be healed, whatever. When you talk about meeting with Jesus and going with him, they want to know about that. And again, he'll never do anything to them without the yieldedness and willingness. So this is a big issue right here. Are you willing? Are you, you know, yield? Will you be yielded and allow Jesus to come in there where you're at and literally invite him to come in there, and we'll pray for him to come in there and for you to have an encounter and everything with him. And when they say yes to that, that is absolutely vital that they're allowing Jesus to come there. And sometimes cult loyal parts will sit back way back somewhere and watch. Others will. We will many times pray that God will just protect everyone else. But if there's an individual that allows this, we begin to do this. Point E, ask them to look for Jesus as you are praying. As you're praying for them, just simply begin to say, they'll sometimes say, I see this brilliant light. And many of them have said to me over the years, it's not the kind of satanic light that he has. This light was so different, so solid, so powerful, so majestic. I have never seen anything like it. And usually when they begin to see just the presence of Jesus, the light of Christ, as they're open to that his presence coming, and if they're willing, he will literally show himself. They will eventually look up and say, I see him. Or they'll say, or maybe it's a little personality, I see a man. What does he look like? And they'll begin to describe someone glorious and great and compassionate and kind. On page 51, if that is occurring in the process, if you're praying with somebody and they've come to that point where everything's quiet and stilled and Jesus is on the inside, you can watch and observe their face, their eye movement, you know, their eyes closed, of course, but just you can begin to see as they all of a sudden the brilliance, a smile comes, and they'll even start talking to Jesus without you. They'll just start saying hi and Jesus and help me and whatever, because you've led them to an incredible encounter. And this encounter is this issue of inner healing, that the Lord is near the brokenhearted. That means right there present. He's right there. The real Jesus, not a hologram, not an extended presence. The real, he is really there. He is. Just like I know he's in my life. I don't visibly see him, but in that world of multiples, that's what occurs. This issue of seeing and having direct ministry. Page 51, point F. Jesus won't make them do anything against their will. He's not like the programmers. He's not like the handlers and splitters. He is there to empower them to be able to make a choice. That's what salvation is all about. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, you know, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word. The Spirit of God enables us to make the choice. He empowers us. As we're yielded to him and open to him, there's then this ability that he's going to be granting and enabling us with to turn to him as he's opening our eyes and opening our heart and opening our understanding. Now, if you read in Ephesians chapter 1 sometime, you're going to read about how, you know, there's a prayer about that we maybe get a spirit of wisdom, revelation, we might know Jesus better. And that also that the eyes of our heart or understanding would be opened up. There's an inner capacity to perceive spiritually. And for multiples, it seems that there is an inner capacity not only to perceive and understand, but to see. To see. And they will see Jesus as he shows himself in presence as they're inviting him to come in, and there he is. Here's a lot of things that I do. I ask them to come near. So are you willing to come closer to Jesus? Are you willing to get close to him? And don't you want to get up closer? And he won't come to you. I mean, if they're fearful and afraid, you know, sometimes they're like, they feel like they're like 50 feet away, and then they eventually come closer and they see, you know, sometimes I'll say, do you feel his presence? Do you feel something? They'll say, yes, I haven't felt anything like this ever. I've never known this. What's it like? And they'll say, peaceful. Now, in this process, many times I am experiencing and feeling, and in my spiritual mind's eye, I am perceiving what is going on. Many times the Holy Spirit is telling me, you know, the Lord's telling me what's next, what he's going to do. But I won't say it. I'll speak it out to them. I'll ask them. I'll say to them sometimes, do you have a question you want to ask Jesus? And I might, you know, I might already get the Holy Spirit. Jesus might already, I mean, I already have the answer. The Lord may already give me the answer, but then I wait to let Jesus talk to them. And we need to allow this encounter to occur. You know, some of them want to ask, where were you, Jesus? Some of them want to know a lot of different things. And I tell you what, Jesus can handle himself far, far greater than you and I can. And it seems like they're able to handle Jesus, listen to Jesus, feel his presence, see the compassion, see what Jesus says. Sometimes he says a sentence. Sometimes he reminds them. Sometimes Jesus will say, I was there when this occurred or that occurred. And they're blown away. And all I know is that in this encounters, almost every time, they want Jesus so bad. Sometimes I will say, you know, ask them to let Jesus speak. What does Jesus want to say to you? What does he want to say? Sometimes the Lord will speak into my heart while we're doing this, and I'll know what he wants to say, and I'll say to them, what does he want to say to you? I'll look up into his face and listen to him. And then they're like, they can see them shaking their head and saying things. And sometimes I'll have to say to them, well, tell me what he told you. And they'll have their eyes closed and they'll say, well, Jesus said that it was never my fault, that he, you know, whatever it may be, that's usually, again, personal. It's not all the same thing for every single personality. And some personalities who are cult loyal, they might, you know, have blood on their hands and they're in dirty robes. That's how they see themselves. Just like an outside person that might be guilty and shameful and so forth and filthy and whatever. they'll want Jesus, and I'll say, well, Jesus can cleanse you and heal you and save you and even give you new garments. And so there's times I will say, you know, let Jesus speak. I'll say, you know, ask them to ask Jesus, is there anything he wants to do or give you or whatever else? And there's been times where Jesus wants to give them something or minister something to them. So I just kind of lead that way. Again, I keep doing this until everything's done, until we feel that he has done everything that needs to be done. Now, look at page 51 in the middle where it says this. You be listening to the Holy Spirit very carefully. Be listening. If you know the ministry of Jesus, you know where he wants, what he wants you to do or what he wants to do. I mean, if you know Jesus and what he's all about, you know what he wants to do to that individual. And you're there to be the to lead, to guide, to help. You're there to be the facilitator spiritually. And then again, if Jesus says something to you, speak it out. That's clear. It's all the same. But this is an encounter because it's something different. They were broken off on the inside and so much of the stuff done on the inside. And there's times Jesus will give them a new, you know, little girls a new dress, clean and white. He'll heal all their bruises. Sometimes we say, well, Jesus wants to reach out and heal you. He wants to put his hands on you and heal you. And sometimes when personalities get healing from Jesus, the entire rest of the physical, I mean, the person, the host, the main person, that goes throughout their whole system. Healing goes on within the whole system. Sometimes when we say, well, do you want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and so forth? Sometimes the little ones will say, I already did. Well, okay, well, do you want to just acknowledge him right now as Lord and Savior? And does Jesus have anything to give you? Does he have anything he wants you to do? Is there any information that he wants you to tell? And so in that process, many times there is. Now listen, there's times that Jesus has something to give them, sometimes to exchange clothing, sometimes to have them renounce their Luciferian beginnings. A lot of things that occurred in the deliverance session in renouncing things. But again, if we've missed anything, Jesus doesn't. And he may lead you and lead them to do specific things at that time. And the reason I can't tell you how it's going to be, in every case it's different. If you've got a 6-year-old little girl before Jesus, or an 18-year-old rebellious, you know, personality that was there, or a 25-year-old cult priestess, it can be all different in the way Jesus is leading and speaking and doing and how they're interacting. But the ultimate thing is for them to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, to be open to his healing, to allow him to bring all the full measure, like this is in Romans 16, the full measure full measure of the ministry of Christ, and he wants to do all that with them. Well, there may be information. There's times I've had military personalities say, "Well, the Lord wants me to tell you this, and to warn you about this, or to say this, or whatever." And I have to have a spirit, the Holy Spirit, you know. And sometimes, you know, God gives me that, and I'll say that anyway. That's how I like to operate. That God speaks to me first. And that if they have anything to tell me or say or whatever else, that's a confirmation, a secondary thing. But I let them do that. There's many times. And this is, again, where some people say, well, we don't want to know anything about this stuff or whatever. Well, if it lends help to helping others to understand the larger picture, then yes, by all means. We have felt led for years. How are you going to expose the evil deeds of darkness if you know anything about them? Ephesians 5, you know, 11 and 12 and so forth. So there's information that, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll perceive, does the Lord want us to know anything about handlers and people that are messing with you or coven people or, you know, anything else going on? And they'll wait a little bit and they'll say, yes, this is this. And Jesus wants me to tell you this. And it's okay for me to tell you this information or that information or, you know, who is involved or where the hiding place is or where, you know, the robes are or where this is to destroy them. So that's important that you be involved in all of that and just be open to the Lord yourself about all that he wants to do with the ultimate goal, saving, healing, delivering, and showing extraordinary work and ministering to them. Now, point N under page 51. comes to a point where I say, does Jesus want you to go with him? Many times I've said, Lord, is there a door that you have that you want them to come up and go through? Now, some people don't like that. I will just say that's how we've been led. I don't believe in integration in the sense of a psychological sense of just people, you know, personalities coming to know and eventually after years and years of stuff or whatever, eventually say, okay, I'm going to merge back in. Because in many cases, I've seen them merge right back out. In this case of inner healing, some have called it enfolding. All I know is this, in all the cases, whether little personalities, caught loyal ones, whatever else, when they go with Jesus, when they're willing and Jesus wants to take them, again, what is the will of Jesus? Listen, Isaiah 48, verse 17, 18, shows you what is best, leads you in the way you should go. There are some personalities that don't want to go anywhere yet. Jesus never makes them, but he does tell them. And many times there's been cases where at this point they don't want to go anywhere, but then later on they do. But in many cases, especially with the little personalities, they just want to go with Jesus. They want to go with him and be happy. Jesus never annihilates human personality. He doesn't erase human personality. He doesn't do that. So all I'm going to tell you as far as what I understand at this point is that Jesus, when they go with Jesus himself after the healing and all the work's been done, it's very clear that the rest of the system knows, the host person knows, that if it's Sarah that went, Johnny that went, Fred that went, whoever it may be, guess what? They're not there the next day. They're not there at all. Now, sometimes I'll say, what do you see? Again, just wanting to get all the full ministry of everything that wants to get, you know, be done at the moment. There's times I'll just say, okay, he wants you to go with him. And they're like, all right, goodbye. They'll even say goodbye to me or to you. And sometimes I'll say, is there anybody else around? There's been times I've felt that. And they'll say, yes, there's three little ones and a little teeny baby, you know, personality that was fragmented off when they were just a baby. They all want to go. And so I said, well, bring all of them up and let all of them go. And if is there anything Jesus needs to do first? No, or yes, or whatever. And then just go with the whole process as the Lord leads and let, you know, whether it's 15 people or one person, all to go with Jesus. Now, I had one individual tell me, and I don't know if this is true, that hundreds, because they had numerous personalities inside, that in one case, in one of these encounters, now they told me, I didn't experience feeling, seeing, hearing this or anything, that literally a whole bunch went with Jesus. And that's good, because I don't believe you have to talk to every single personality, that every personality has to go through every memory, and everything's got to be hardcore and painful. I believe that Jesus, and I even believe this, I believe he'll show us even more extraordinary things. That where there'll be quicker, you know, years ago, what we would spend 12 hours doing may occur now in 45 minutes. And not to say that heals the whole person, because you got to go to the next personality, and whatever's there until, and there's people that we have right now that have two or three or four personalities left. And they used to have 35. And sometimes it's about coping skills. In other words, the host personality doesn't know how to do numerous different things. And if certain personalities leave, then who's going to do those things? And that's the tough part about post-encounter ministry. Because personalities that were once there, they're gone. And I've had inside personalities sometimes be mad, sad. Two little eight-year-old girls, years ago, we were doing this whole Freedom Encounter, and they had, you know, one eight-year-old girl we were working with, and she had numerous personalities, around six at the time. And they were freshly created, you know, over a few years because of this daycare center. And so we got to this encounter where Jesus was there, and sure enough, some of those little personalities inside her wanted to go. But when they went, the main person, the little girl, was kind of mad and didn't want it to happen. She even cried, because she didn't want her little friends to go anywhere. They became friends and so forth. The problem was there was also demonization and some cult loyal stuff in there. And all of that had to be dealt with. So the bottom line is going with Jesus from the inside, and some level of healing occurs. And when all is done, that's when Jesus wants to you know, literally take them away from all the stuff and to be with Him. And that's all I know. That's all I know at this point. I've seen in post-encounter ministry that coven members try to send triggers, phone calls, messages, whatever, and the personality that was once there that had the triggers, they're not there any longer. They're not there any longer to pick up the phone and call. They're not there any longer to interact with handlers and whatever else. So we've seen that where they get angry. And they want to know what we've done. And they want to know how we've done it. We've had even some believe that we were using some kind of machinery, special new machinery. They couldn't figure it out. And the bottom line, would we tell other personalities inside that in coven and military loyal personalities, well, let them know. And we've asked them before, what did you tell them? Well, bottom line was Jesus. Oh, we told them that you just prayed. And they get, this one said, they get so angry at that. They get so angry at that. Coven members get really angry at that. I remember this one guy named Caino. He was a high priest kind of guy, and he would call and leave messages, and he'd say, "Let my people go," referring to the personalities inside this woman. And he would want us to get out of the way, and he would just act like he was Moses from the Old Testament. And we would see some personalities healed and go, and he couldn't contact them. And they can't bring them up. If you have like the sex slaves on the inside that, you know, Jesus encounters, and they get, turn to the Lord, and they get healing, and all the stuff occurs, and they go. Guess what? There's no one to use the body in those ways any longer. If an assassin, whatever personality, does surrender and yields to the will of Christ, they're not there to be used any longer. And the programming that was there, of course, is gone. Now, we'll deal with programming in a couple sessions coming up again, but what they've gone through. Now, this is, again, part of the process. And you may have to do it again and again and again. Maybe in one session, you know, two, three, or four personalities go. Maybe in another session, someone came to the point of it. Usually, I find really cult loyal personalities, sometimes they don't want to go right. Even though they turn to Jesus, they renounce Satan, everything else, they feel like they still have a job to do or whatever. And I've seen sometimes where the Lord will say to some personality to remain for a little while to do certain things. Keep your eye on this or keep your eye on that or whatever. And so usually that personality becomes very committed to you in the help in seeing the entire person heal. Because in so many counseling centers, again, multiples go in, they get a little bit, you know, they have a, you know, 50-minute meeting or whatever, or sometimes a 2-hour meeting, and then they go, and the counselor may not see them for 3 months because the coven's got them back. And so you can see the process of things going over again and again and again. Sometimes counselors have told me they don't see the person ever again. And they say it's because they've gone back to the coven. Well, they may have been retrieved by the coven. And things may have been done and set in place that they won't come back to you. So in all the process of the healing, of the delivering, and so forth, the more I can get done, you know, in a session. For example, if I can spend a day, 2 days, 3 days with an individual, if they're really high complex, many personalities, many cult loyal personalities, a lot of demons, all that stuff is there, a lot of triggers and whatever else, the more you can get done in the beginning, the less the coven can do down the road. So if you are getting through to and seeing the deliverance issues, because again, if you get rid of demons, but you have cult loyal personalities that know how to conjure, they're going to go home and conjure demons to come back into them, to that part of them. They're going to take the body back to the coven so that the coven can redo things to, quote, purify their blood. That means to redemonize and bring attachment to their bloodline. and to keep them in their chosen calling and their abilities and so forth. Because if you've done deliverance and they had abilities to astral project and they can't do it, or the psychic abilities or seeing or whatever, and when the demons go, they lose those abilities. And again, they've got to be willing. There's, again, cult loyal personalities sometimes that have not wanted to give up their abilities. They say, why can't I just use these abilities and serve Jesus? If it came from the demonic realm, you can't. You can't mix the two. There has to be a surrender. You can never find what God wants to give you until you give up what Satan has placed in you. And it's very vital for them to know that. And many times when tremendous encounters in Jesus, and I've had many times where cult loyal personalities have written me and other things. Called. And very angry at me because other personalities got free and they left and they went away or Jesus did this or Jesus took them, or they got mad at another cult loyal personality who did surrender to Christ, saved, healed, delivered, and then they go with Jesus. They get mad at that because they begin to lose their team on the inside. Just like if you was to lead an outside coven member to Christ, or two or three of them, well, the rest of the coven is going to be pretty doggone mad because of that whole issue of loyalty on the satanic side of this whole ministry that we're doing. As you look at page 51 and have gone over all of the issues there, I'm not giving you just the point. I'm not saying do this step by step by step. In the beginning, you might, you know, do it like that. And, you know, if you need to use this in the beginning, that's fine. But the more you do this, the more you're going to be ready for contingencies. Be ready for, distractions to come up. For other personalities to pop up and say they want to go or they want to see Jesus. For a cult loyal personality or whatever to say or try to shut things down. It all deals with the beginning and you're praying and securing the session. Praying against all outside demonic interference. Dealing with the demonic side in the beginning anyway. Talking to and listening to the personalities, interacting, retruthing, and all of that. And then leading whatever personalities, as you're led, as comes up, to Jesus, and let him begin to, save the inside family, heal the inside family, deliver and do extraordinary things to the inside family. I have never found it the will of God, as in some cases I've read, in some multiples that have written books and so forth. And I even listened to one who has a manual out there and has basically just the coping skills, becoming a family within and, each personality getting new jobs, all of them remaining, and they all get to do new jobs. And that might be a partial secular approach. What is the approach Jesus wants? What does he want to do? So I would, again, be just surrender to the Lordship of Christ. God knows what is best. He knows how to lead the way that we should go. Again, emphasizing he never kills, annihilates, destroys personality. He never erases personality. Some personalities feel like when they give up their programming, their job, if their only job was to, do cutting at the ritual or speak languages, and they don't know what else to do. They don't know what else to do. So if you just say, okay, the whole thing is we'll give you another job, then you got to spend all the time giving them another job. What job are you going to give them to do? Is that the will of God to give 15 personalities new jobs and all of a sudden you're becoming what? I don't want to say you're becoming the programmer, but literally what job? I mean, you're going to give them all jobs to read. I mean, there's been times in the middle of everything we've given some personalities who didn't want to go yet, would you be the one to read the Bible out loud? Take the Bible and read it. And read it out loud for you to know and for others to hear. And that's happened. But we've seen again and again and again where ultimately Jesus wants to get to them. That's like every single outside person I deal with. He wants to save them. He wants Christians to be filled with the Spirit of God. What is the will of God? Is it the will of God to stay transmuted and broken and fragmented on the inside? No. Is it the will of God to be healed? And the peace of Christ and You know, if God's all about integration, that means integration. Good. Well, that means that then there's no more separation. God wants to make the personality whole. And in the process that we've seen, he heals, ministers to, shows things, guides, directs, everything else to personalities in this encounter. But in every encounter I've seen, when we just said, Lord Jesus, what do you want this person to do? And he'll, you know, the Lord will speak to them, and they'll say, well, he wants me to go with him. Where is he going to take you? Through that doorway. They see a doorway. And I've even had some, I said, well, go ahead, go up to the doorway, and we'll ask the Lord to open it, and you can look in. And they'll say, wow, I don't know what that is. I know the book of Revelation talks about a door open and so forth. The idea of, again, a gateway to, is that to paradise, to where Jesus is? Are they taken home in a different way, like Enoch? You know, he was translated without death. We're dealing with an extraordinary transmutation of human personality. So we got to trust the Lord Jesus to minister an extraordinary transformation of saving, healing, delivering. Nothing that ever violates the Word of God. Nothing that ever goes beyond the Word of God. Nothing, you know, we don't mix New Age principles with biblical principles. There's no Reiki healing here. There's no, you know, guided imagery here. There's none of that stuff at all, that junk. This is the ministry of the real Christ, who whatever he's able to do on the outside, he's able to do on the inside. And it can be extraordinary things. Extraordinary things that we've seen over the years. Let me give you an example. This is something for you to pray about, think about. I'm not saying for you to even do it. But we had a cult multiple one time that was military-oriented, and I'm going to just tell you how it occurred. And this has now occurred with a number of other military cult multiples, where we were engaged in this process of inner healing and so forth, and the person I said, well, somebody's trying to break in. Something's going on. I don't know what it is. And one day I got this insight, and I just felt from the Lord to pray and say, Lord, allow a screen to come here on the inside for the person to see. And allow them to see their handlers or where, you know, whatever. And a few times we've seen this. It's kind of like the word of knowledge in pictorial form or a vision. But it's also a reality. Kind of like Ezekiel in the Old Testament when he was able to like literally peer through and see through the wall and what the elders of Israel are doing in their satanic worship. And we've had this encounter go on, and I've had them watch, and I would pray and pray against the demons, if it's coven members or whatever, and pray and so forth. And all of a sudden, they'd like, wow, look what just happened. I said, well, tell me what happened. Now, the Lord will give me the insight of what happened. But all of a sudden, they're saying, this occurred, and these demons were broken down, and they're all just going in a frenzy because they don't know what happened, and they don't know what's going on. They can't figure out what's happening. They know something's coming in on them. Well, you know what? If they can send things, if they can project and do things and astral project, that's what we're talking about here. We're just simply talking about a supernatural working of Jesus. Acts chapter 8, 9, and 10 specifically show us. Like Peter, when he was in jail, an angel shows up. And by the way, in many of these encounters, angels will show, you know, be there. They'll say, I see Jesus is there and two powerful angels with swords and shields and so forth. And they're there. And many times I've noticed that because not all the deliverance work has been done because cult loyal personalities have either not been willing to give up anything or they've conjured back in their areas demonic presence. And so that many times when angels with swords and shields are there, it has the idea that somewhere around is still demonic presence. Now, so just look for the work of angels and so forth. Listen, Paul on a shipwreck was able to have an angel come to him and say, you know, tell him what's going to happen. And he was able to go to them and tell the rest of the people what the angel told him. Obviously, in a vision form, the Apostle Peter received this sheet coming down from heaven, and he saw. We also know that there's been dreams, the man from Macedonia, and the call to go there. So again, Nothing that violates the Word of God, the character of Christ, the saving work, anything that Jesus does miraculously will jive with all of Scripture, jive with the goal of salvation, healing, and deliverance, jive with glorifying Christ in the midst of things. So we read in the book of Acts where God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. You know, the issue about hankies, you know, and prayer, and people were healed and delivered when they laid them on people. Well, listen, let's pray for the extraordinary things that the living, real Jesus today. Let's not theologically in any crazed way cut off the hands and ministry of Jesus by limiting his ability, by saying he could only do two or three things today, even though he did 1,000 things in the past. Nope. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. We proclaim that. We're glad to proclaim that. It glorifies Jesus. Sometimes I pray in the midst of this inner healing that's going on and Jesus interacting. Acts chapter 4, God, stretch out your hands, heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders in the name of your holy servant Jesus. And that's the overall general prayer. And then I'll see a leading of, you know, the way God's guiding and directing to bring the healing, ultimately, for them to yield to Jesus as Savior, yield to the ministry of what he wants to do, speak, say, what he wants them to confess or tell. Just be open to do, and don't be so quick. Be there for, just keep, anything else, Lord Jesus? Does he want to say anything else? Do you need to ask him anything? Does he need to bring any other healing? Does he need to, you know? And inwardly you're praying, Lord, do you want me to pray anything else? Do you want me to, what else do you want me to do? Until it's all done, and then ultimately, what does Jesus want you to do now? And you're going to find that they're going to say, he wants us to go. There's a door. There's a path. He wants to lead us. Little ones will sometimes even run up, and Jesus will embrace them and pick them up in his arms. Pick them up and literally walk off with them, take them. And they are forever protected, loved, guarded, guided. That is my perception at this point. That they're guarded, loved, guided, and so forth. And a miraculous and extraordinary thing occurred. And how it glorifies Christ. And how it has demonstrated the power of Jesus. Not only to cult personalities or others inside that are more reluctant. But listen, other team members. And even when we've had psychologists and counselors and pastors and family members in the room to see the entire process of deliverance, of personalities talking and so forth, and of this healing process. Now, I found this, that the only thing that brings hindrance usually is someone, the same thing on the outside. When a person doesn't want to give up certain things, they don't want to turn to Jesus in every area, they don't want to surrender certain things, or they keep doorways open, or they don't want to, you know, what is Jesus? Listen, in your life right now, what is the will of God? Are you fully following the will of God? Are you yielded? If you say yes, that's good. Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? So if Jesus says that he wants to get in there, and he, you know, I've had personalities that doesn't, they don't want Jesus to get in there. Well, I want to, they're like, I want to protect them. Well, you're, you know, but Jesus says they have, they're tattered. They're filled with pain and shame and hurt and abuse, and handlers can get to them. Jesus wants to get to them to save, heal, and deliver them completely, and to take them out of the pain. Take them out of grasp of the covenant outside folks, and even of demonic attack. And others have to be willing, and even the host person. Listen, I've had, you know, some call me a day or two later and say, Pastor Russ, I'm depressed today. I was, why are you depressed? Well, Sarah and Johnny and Fred and others have all left to go to Jesus, and I'm here now. I feel like I'm by myself. And that's where you deal with the post-encounter ministry. You're not by yourself. You know, you gotta realize that the living Christ is there, and he wants to operate. You know, I've had some personalities like, I'm here by myself now, and I don't have anybody to do my job. Johnny used to do all the cleaning. Now I have to do the cleaning. Well, yeah, that's right. You've got to learn to do things. You've got to learn to, do what the others did for you. Because the truth is, dissociation can become a crutch in this sense. That even in a multiple's life, they will confess this. They've done it to me, where they've allowed dissociation to occur to create personalities to handle things they didn't want to handle. And Jesus wants them to handle things and to trust Him and to turn to Him just like He does you and I. You know, if God wants me to go through something and I'm like, I ain't going to go through this, and I push a friend in front of me or go the other direction, then I haven't gone through what God wants me to go through and to come through and to learn and to grow in. So in session 19, you're dealing with somewhat the ultimate goal. And what happens as you go through this is the amazing work of Christ, the living, hands-on, right-now, active work of Jesus. And then you also have the idea towards the end. Like, you might go through a session and, you know, they walk away with 30 other personalities. Well, the bottom line is, do it again and again and again and again and again and again. Till ultimately, Jesus literally, you know, I'm just saying the way I've seen it, that He ultimately is going to come in and eventually remove, heal, deliver, minister to every single personality in all their particular ways. And ultimately to bring one person in one physical body to fullness in Him. For them, for the host person to be surrendered to Christ and yielded and filled with the Spirit of God and find God's purpose and be a part of the Great Commission, and that's part of the post Freedom Encounter inner healing sessions that we need to deal with. And I think I'll do a 1-hour session just on that alone also to help in that area. Well, again, if you have questions, write me on this. The best thing I can tell you is that the Lord Jesus is with you, guiding you, directing you, and that He will show Himself, and maybe you'll see things that I've never seen. Maybe things will happen quicker. Maybe things will happen broader. Maybe the Lord will do things and show you and direct and guide and through team members that are with you with the ultimate goal to save, heal, deliver, and transform what was once transmuted. Well, the Lord bless you and give you tremendous wisdom. May He speak to you and bring you the Word of God. And maybe as you've gone through these notes, you've written down scriptures that confirm things and that, you know, that correspond to what we're talking about. And I commit you to the Lord, and I thank God for you, and I thank God for the work you're doing. Let's pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth more laborers onto the field. It's not about who's doing the most or the best. It's about how many we need out there on the field. We need a lot of soul winners and disciplers. We need a lot of people that can minister in this way and be able to help. I surely can't meet with the thousands that want help. And I'm just one among many that God is raising up across the nation. And you're one of those. And it is the enemy is coming like a flood. God's raising up a standard. God's raising up a people that can deal with this. There's nothing that Satan can do that God cannot run circles around, cannot undo, and show His redemptive grace and so forth. So let's trust the Lord. Let's leap out there in biblical faith and see all that God's going to do in extraordinary ways. It glorifies Jesus. Encourage your folks that are getting saved, healed, delivered, and so forth, and inner healing. Encourage them to testify about all that Jesus is doing. And we plan to have a few of those testimonies for you in this course coming up also. Well, again, the Lord bless you and keep you. This is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness, in the Internet Course, Freedom Encounters, Session 19.